And I, too, am thankful for the good fellowship and the good meal we had and for everyone that worked and made that possible. But I went home this afternoon and sat down on the couch fighting a cold, and it was my intention to ask one of the other brethren here at church to preach tonight. And then the Lord gave me this thought and burdened my heart with this. And so I want to follow the Lord this evening. There's something I want to talk to you about. And I'll be quite honest, and I don't know, never do know how, I don't know people's hearts, don't know how people will react to things. You know, some of this may be hard to hear, but, you know, honestly, it's really not my job as a pastor to take a feather and tickle your ear and make you giggle. It's not. My job is to tell you the truth and to follow the Lord in what he wants to be spoken. And I believe that for us, you know, I believe that Fairview Memorial and Old Union and Faith and Mount Lebanon, I believe that essentially in all of our churches, it seems, I believe we fit the category of what we find spoken about in the first three chapters of Revelation concerning the seven churches of Asia. I believe that we have good churches still today. We have good, true churches that I don't have any problem saying I'm convinced these are the Lord's churches. But I believe that God will look at us and find somewhat against us. I really do. And I want to speak to you tonight about something that I believe in this respect, that there needs to be a fire burning within us that's really not burning. I want to talk to you tonight about the Word of God, how precious that it is. And you know, the children of God ought to all have a great hunger for the Word of God. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches me that God's Word to the person that is saved, it is what a steak is to the natural body. It is what food is to the natural body. It's just that, it's food. And to the spiritual part of us that are saved, that's what the Word of God is. It's spiritual food. It's what feeds us. You know, when Paul wrote there in the 20th chapter of Acts and told the elders of the church there at Ephesus to feed the flock of God, he wasn't talking about feeding them natural food. He was telling them to feed them spiritually from the Word of God. We need to be fed, or else our spiritual growth is going to be greatly stunted. And so we ought to desire, and our bodies do desire that natural food. I mean, we get hungry and we want to eat. We've got an appetite. And we ought to be the same way with God's Word. We ought to have a great hunger for the Word of God. I want to read to you, to the 26 people that are back tonight for our evening service. I want to read to you, and I thank God that you're here. I really do. I want to read, starting with, I'm going to share quite a bit of scripture with you tonight, but I want to start with Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to for us to consider in this an example that we have in the scriptures where people really were, I mean, they were just really, really interested in hearing the word of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Think about what was said there. He opened the book of the law. He took it. He stood on a pulpit of wood. He opened the book in front of all the people. What's that remind you of? What we do in our services. The preacher comes up before the people. He opens the sacred library, the Holy Bible, before the people and begins to read from the Word of God. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now here in this reading, we have people that were so attentive to the book of the law, to God's word, to the reading of it, that they were willing to listen to that, to listen to Ezra the priest stand there and read the book of the law from morning all the way up into the midday. So they probably were assembled there for somewhere around 5 to 6 hours listening to Ezra read from the book of the law. Now, let's go into 3 John, rather, and I want to read the first four verses of the third epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I want you to notice there the verb that the Apostle John used there in writing that. He said it was not just his pleasure and not just his joy that these spiritual people knew the truth, But he took pleasure in the fact that they walked in the truth. The truth had the truth was greatly exercised in their lives. They walked according to it. They lived according to it. Did they have to know it? Well, certainly. But it's very possible to know it and not walk according to it. And so we need to do all of these things. And so I want to talk to you for a little while this evening about the Word of God. You know, it's a great blessing for us to have the Word of God. And there are things that I believe that that I don't want to believe, to be quite honest with you. There are things that I believe about us as the people of God that I don't really want to believe, but I'm forced to believe them. I'm forced to believe them based upon what I see. And, you know, sometimes that's all that you and I have to go on, is what we see. I know that we don't walk by sight, and that's really not what I'm talking about in this. I know we walk by faith and not by sight. But sometimes there are things that we can only judge in them based upon what we are seeing and what we are experiencing. And it appears to me that that the Word of God has its effect upon people in many different ways. And sadly enough, it's obvious to me that we have people who are members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church that obviously have no interest in the Word of God in their lives. I'm forced to believe that because they just never come to hear it. They just don't show up. They obviously have no desire to be fed. They obviously have no desire to hear the Word of God preached, because week after week goes by and they just don't come. And you know why I come to church? You could say, well, because you're the pastor. But, you know, when I go to the Lord's house, I'm not always there to preach. I've been, you know, for years, almost 30 years, I've been attending the Old Union Minister School and sitting under the teaching of those brethren. And I do that because God put a desire in my heart to do that. And we ought to all have that. We ought to have in us a burning desire for the Word of God. We ought to be like those two men there on the road to Emmaus when they were walking there with Jesus and he began to open up the scriptures unto them. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? I mean, we ought to consider the Word of God the greatest thing from day to day that we could possibly pick up and read. I mean, there's nothing else, there's no other literature. I promise you, there is nothing as exciting in the Bowling Green Daily News as what you can find in here. There's nothing in any textbook or in any novel or any autobiography or biography or drama or whatever type of writing that it is. There's nothing that you can read that's as precious as the Word of God. We ought to be willing, and I know that we don't have services where the preacher gets up and preaches for 5 or 6 hours, because if they did that, we wouldn't have any pastors. The churches would run them off, wouldn't they? And I know that we don't do that, But I would to God that our hearts would be in that shape. I remember it's recorded in Baptist history of a time when a Baptist preacher did get up before a congregation and he just couldn't stop. I mean, he got started preaching and he just couldn't stop. And he had been preaching for about 2.5 hours. And you know what the people were saying? They were actually chanting him. Folks, this is recorded in Baptist history. The people were yelling, "Preach on." After about a 2.5 hour sermon, they weren't falling asleep. They were saying, "Preach on." They were so hungry to hear the word of God that they were willing to just continue to listen even after that much time had gone by. And so I would that our hearts would be that open to the word of God, that we could be like those people there in the days of Ezra when they sit there and listen to the reading of the book of the law for hours. There are obviously people among our churches. There are obviously people that a 30 or 40 minute sermon on Sunday morning is enough for them. That's enough. As far as hearing the word of God, and I don't know, and I'm not saying what people may do in their private time. I hope and pray that people do have a good, active private study. But obviously, hearing the word of God preached for about 30 to 40 minutes on Sunday morning, that's enough for them for the week. Folks, if we're honest, we can see that, can't we? I mean, we can pack the place out on Sunday morning, and then we get a few back. You know, it's not like that those that sit here on Sunday morning and hear the message, it doesn't seem that they go home and say, "I can't wait to get back in the evening and hear more of the Word of God." That was enough. That was all that they needed, all they desired, obviously. David spoke about the Word of God and the effectiveness of the Word of God in his life. Another thing, and I'm not mad at you tonight. I hope nobody thinks that. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. We hold from year to year, we hold here at our church a winter Bible study. And we have some wonderful teaching. I mean, we really do. We have brethren that come. We have a slate of brethren that come and agree to teach. And they stand up here and they teach some wonderful biblical lessons. But you know, to be honest with you, it's not very well supported by the membership of our church. It's not. There's just not many of us that attended. And so when we see these things and how that these things happen among us, isn't it logical? You can say, "Well, you know, preacher, you're being too hard on us, or you expect too much." But listen, isn't it logical when we look at these things? Isn't it logical for us to question our hunger for the Word of God? In my way of thinking, it is. You know, when I was growing up, my mother, there were 6 kids in my family, and my mother loved to feed us. And you can see that now. She loved to feed us. She took pleasure in cooking. I mean, she would get in there in the kitchen, and it'd be hot. Her house never had any air conditioning. She lived in that house for 40 years and it never had it. And she'd get in there in the kitchen and she'd start cooking. It'd be hot and she'd have the oven going and the stove going. And the next thing you know, she'd have this big old meal set out on the table and we'd all sit down there and we'd begin to enjoy that good food that she had cooked. But you know, if I would have shown up at the table about once every couple of days to eat a meal, wouldn't it have been logical for my mother to conclude that I just wasn't much interested in her cooking, in her food? Well, sure it would. And when we see these things and the attentiveness and the desire to attend church or to not attend church, I think we ought to question just how much does it really mean to us. David, as I started to say a moment ago, David in the 119th Psalm in verse 105, he spoke about what the Word of God meant to him. He said that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is a guide unto me. It's something that helps get me through the day. I want to know more about it. I mean, if something that you have, if you're depending on it to light the way in front of you, wouldn't you want it to shine as brightly as it possibly could? I mean, I've been out in the woods before when it was dark. I mean, pitch black. I've walked through woods and stuff before when it was pitch black at night, and I thank God that I had a good, bright flashlight. If we're going to depend upon the Word of God to shine the way before us and light the path, we ought to have it shining in us as much as it possibly can. We ought to want to know more and more and more about the Word of God. I'll tell you what, friends, there is a wealth of information here that you will never, I mean, it'll never run dry. There is always, you don't have to worry about this. One thing that you're never going to do. I want to talk about a few things that you'll never do with the truth. You will never learn all of it. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to say, well, preacher, I better not read it too much because I'll learn about all of it and then I'll be bored. No, that's not going to happen. There's always something new and refreshing to learn from the Word of God. Only God could design a library like this. All of it is divinely inspired. That's what Paul said. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of it is profitable. It's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it. Old Testament, New Testament, the 66 books of this sacred library, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of it is profitable to us. The Apostle Peter said, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. There are people that concerning the Word of God, the Scriptures, there are people believe that it's not the Word of God, that it's just something that was written by man, but listen, man was nothing but the scribe. Prophecy came in old time not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Friends, listen, you can go to the library today and you can pull all kinds of good shelves or good books off the shelves. You can pull down all kinds of good history books and all kinds of things, but there's only one that's been authored by the Holy Spirit of God. The Scriptures are divinely inspired. So it ought to be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. There's a lot of things that you can do with the Word of God. A lot of things. There's a lot of things that you can do with what I'm trying to expound upon before you tonight. You know what you can do? You have the choice. You have the option. You can take what's said tonight and you can throw it away. You can do that. You won't profit by that, but you can do it. You can take it and you can just, dismiss it from your mind and get rid of it. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, it'll have no effect on your mind. You can listen to a sermon when the preacher begins to preach rebuke, you can listen to that sermon and you can say, man, he's laying it out to somebody. Wonder who he's preaching that to. You can just take yourself completely out of the picture. You can believe the Word of God, or you can choose not to believe the Word of God. You can do many different things with the truth, but I want to tell you something that you can't ever do, and you can't ever destroy it. You know, when from the very moment in time that the truth of God's Word began to be preached, do you know that if there had never been one single person that would ever have embraced it and believed it, it would still have been just as true as it is today. Amen. We will never destroy the truth of God's Word. John took great consolation in the fact that there were those, he rejoiced greatly in the fact that there were those that walked in the truth. Not just that knew it, but that put it to work and actually walked in the truth. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus was praying for his disciples, and in verse 14, starting with verse 14 of John chapter 17, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So what we have in the Word of God is we have the truth. Now, let me ask you something today, this evening. Aren't you thankful in your life that you had the privilege to be exposed to the truth? Stop and think about it for a moment. There's a lot of people in the world, all around us. We all know this is true. There are people all around us that have been led astray. They've been told so many things that are not true. They've been deceived by it, been deceived by false teachings. And they're walking around and they think that everything is okay between them and God when it's not at all. They've never been born again by the Spirit of God. They've not been taught that. They've been deceived. They've been misled. Many people. I'm glad I heard the truth. I'm glad that there were people, when I was growing up, there were people that stood before me and without fear or favor of man or anything else, they just preached the truth of God's Word. There are people today, I promise you this, I've experienced this, there are many people in the world today that do not want their little children to hear a sermon about hell. They don't want them to hear it. They think that's too harsh for their little ears. I'll tell you what, I took my kids to everything I could. I wanted them to know the truth. Know the truth. I wanted them to know what they could do in order to be saved. I wanted them to know what would happen to them if they didn't get saved. We ought to never hide the truth from our children. None of it. God's word is truth. And aren't you glad? Because if you look in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'd rather know the truth about any situation, wouldn't you? It doesn't do us any good, you know, for somebody to try to withhold the truth from somebody else so that they might feel better about something. That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help anybody at all. You know, when my children were growing up, and we all know, and we all, I'm sure, are ready to and willing to admit that there may be things that we hope we don't ever hear. But when my children were growing up, I wanted them to always be willing to tell me the truth. Whatever that you've done, if it's something horrible, I want you to tell me the truth. Don't lie to me about it. Tell me the truth and we'll deal with it. But don't withhold the truth from me. I want to know the truth. And we certainly ought to want to know the truth about the Word of God. What does the Bible really teach us? I was reading this afternoon, I was reading a pamphlet of an old debate where Brother W.T. Russell had debated with another man, and they were debating on the subject of salvation. And you know what? When I read that pamphlet and I read the plain truth that Brother Russell laid out before him, and the true arguments that Brother Russell made, you know, I read that, I sat there and read that, and it was sad to me because obviously he just did not want to know the truth. He just wanted, I don't see how in the world, I mean, for the life of me, I can't imagine how he could have got around the things he was being told. But you know what? People can desire to believe what they want to believe so badly that they're willing to just chuck the truth, just throw the truth away. They don't care. Just as long as we get to believe what we want to believe. And I'll tell you, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. We, you know, the Word of God was never given to us so that we could mold the Word of God to fit our lives. It was given to us that we might mold our lives to fit the Word of God. It's the truth. If you live by it, you'll be walking in the truth. If we live our lives by the Word of God, we will be walking in the truth. I think we ought to pray. As God's people, I believe that we ought to pray that we would get a greater desire for the truth. That we would have a greater desire for the Word of God. I do. I don't believe that we have the hunger for it that we ought to have. That we don't have the willingness that we ought to have. There are too many things in our life. I'll tell you what. You would be far better off. I would be far better off. All of us would be a lot better off if we sit in our houses in the evening and we had this good old book open. We had a hot cup of coffee or tea there. And we sat there just diving into the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, we'd be a lot better off than what we would be watching Law and Order. I promise you that. We will learn more about life we will learn more about God. We will learn more about what type of people that we ought to be if we would open this precious book and spend our time there. I'll tell you what, our churches would be better off. Our lives would be better off. You know, there has been times and in various religions where they did not want the laity to read it. They didn't want them to read it. They wanted them to take everything that the priest said from the Bible and take that as the law. You know what? I invite you, every sermon I preach, I invite you to search the scriptures and make sure it's so. We ought to be like those people there at Berea when they heard the apostles preach. And you know what they did? They searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. What a great book. Amen. What great writings. What fantastic things are recorded in the Word of God. I'm sure that you have... Well, let me tell you this. I don't usually like to share somebody else's experience, but this was a great blessing to me today. Brother Tyler, our young preacher, attended the Old Union School this year and just had he had a great time. I sat with him the first day, and about halfway through that first day, I looked at him, I said, "What do you think, Tyler?" And he said, "I like it." He was having a good time. And Brother DeMumbrum told me this afternoon when we were downstairs, he said, "Tyler told me, I had a great experience." And he said, "Well, what was it?" He said, "I got to study in the Word of God." He said, "and I got to laughing." Said, "I got to just laughing, and I just felt so good and happy in the Lord." And said, "I just sit there and laugh for about 15 minutes. And he said, when I was out at the Old Union service Thursday night, and he said, I saw some of those brethren up there that were singing in the men's choir, and they got happy, and they got to laughing. And he said, I thought it was kind of weird. But he said, I got to studying something in the Scriptures, and I just got to laughing and laughed for about 15 minutes, and I felt so good in the Lord. I've been reading this old book before. Man, and I mean, just get so happy. Just a little, sometimes just a few little words just come into my heart in such a way that I just, man, I get so happy in the Lord. I'm glad we got it. You know what? We ought to take full advantage of what we have been given. There's so many people in the world today that are hurting. You know that? There's so many people in the world today that are anxious. There's so many people in the world today that are depressed. I mean, just flat out depressed. Can't even hardly lift their head up and smile. So many people have got questions in their mind about what they ought to do. What should I do about this? How should I handle this? You know what I'm convinced of? That this good book that God gave us, if you want to take the time to search for it, every answer to every question that you'll ever have in life can be found right here. Amen. Right here. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. It can be found here and in seeking God for the wisdom of what He has told us. God gave us a book of answers.
book of answers.
Every aspect of our lives. It was from the scriptures that I learned what I needed to do to be saved. And that's exactly what Paul told Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From God's word, I learned what I needed to do in order to be saved. I hope that something has been said tonight that's been helpful to you. I think we need to pray that we would have a greater desire in our lives for God's holy word. I believe that. I believe we need to do that. Brother Strode, if you would, get us a song ready. And I want to, while we have a hymn, I want to ask everyone, if you would, to come up. I'd like for us to close out tonight up here with a friendship circle, a prayer circle. So if you would, let's, while we stand and sing, let's all
293.
Come together.
293. More about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.